2 Timothy chapter 2. If you're able to stand, you can, and we'll read, and then we'll pray and be seated. But thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you'll take your word today, use it, Lord, in the hearts of each one who's here. And I pray, Father, that you will encourage and guide us throughout this time. Lord, we love you. We love Ambassador. We love what it stands for and the education and the love that has been shown here with so much investment in other people. And so I pray your hand be upon them. I pray, Lord, now that you will speak to our hearts through this message in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I've used this statement several times about using the term swan song. And I did look it up one time, it came out of the classical Greek culture, and it's just a myth, I'm sure, but it said that before a swan was to die, that right before it died, that it would sing a beautiful song right before it died. And that's how they got the name Swan Song. Whenever you give thought to 2 Timothy, I wouldn't say that the death of Paul is a beautiful thing. However, we do know that 2 Timothy, the last book that Paul wrote before he perished, it is his swan song. And he had time to give thought to what he was going to tell this young man Timothy in the ministry and trying to encourage him. And so he writes this, and it's a beautiful song. You know, Brother Nathan preaching last night, and so much of what he said goes along with what we'll see today, and it's amazing how God always brings messages together. But with this, we see that a beautiful song is his last will and statement, you might say, before he perished, and so many important things that he writes here, and we want to take these things, and I pray that just for a few moments here that we can give some thought to some of the things that Paul saw was vitally important to Timothy and can help him. And so I just want to see three focal points for a good soldier, that whether you have, this is the beginning of your ministry here at Ambassador and your training, or whether you've been in the ministry for 20, 30, 40, 50, or I know Dan Carallo's dad, Dr. Carallo, just celebrated Sunday 60 years in the ministry. Dr. Comfort, too, you know. And so many years in the ministry, we can still take heed to what God's Word says. And I pray that we can use it in our lives today. And so the first thing that I want us to look at, verse 1, we're just going to go down through the verses. And so you'll know when I hit verse 3 that we're almost done. And Brother Jake, I don't know where you're at. I missed you. I saw you here earlier. So he's there. You are, brother. All right. You'll know I get point three. You're almost ready. All right, brother. I'm looking forward to it. But all right. Verse one, though, we see that we need to promote grace. It tells us here, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, first of all, we know thou is representing someone singular, and so we know that Paul is very pointed here in writing this to Timothy and telling Timothy, there's going to come a time where there is a decision to be made, and I hope that you have made this. And so here, thou, Timothy, you need to pay attention to what I'm getting ready to tell you, and thou therefore. And then we know that every time you see therefore or wherefore, you need to look back and see why it's therefore. And what is it that he has said? Well, you go back into chapter 1, and here he's already given Timothy several words of encouragement. And in verses 5 and 6, he was reminding him in chapter 1 to remember your faith and remember your calling that God placed upon your life. And verse 7, a powerful verse that through the years that God has used this so much in my own life. And on Mother's Day, we will celebrate 27 years at Platte Valley Baptist Church. And I want you to know that there were some times during that where there really was some fear. There were some real challenges that have come, and there probably will be more to come. And the goal is to make it 40 years there if they can put up with me, and as long as God wants that. And so we'll continue to go and endeavor as long as God leads. And but there are times when we can get overwhelmed. And can I tell you, our society right now is overwhelmed with anxiety and fear. And we are the ones, whether this world wants to admit it or not, whether our communities want to admit it or not, they need us. And they need us to be those that show them that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. And so we need to know and understand and stand according to God's word with fearless courage and confidence that God has things under control. You get on to verses 8 through 12, and here he reminds them to don't shy away from afflictions. I mean, there are going to be challenges along the way, and we know that, and we would love to stay on the mountaintop, but the grass grows in the valley. And oh, how we need to remember that. And then verse 13, he tells us to hold fast the form of sound words. Well, I can't tell you how important it is to remember what you're being taught, and remember that it is the Word of God that's going to do the work in people's lives. And not only that, but it's the Word of God that is going to protect you and guide you and direct you. And you need to hold fast to that. You know, SWAT team moved to a different county, but I was a chaplain for the Morgan County SWAT team while I had the SWAT team. And a lot of fun, a lot of challenges there. And I was a bad guy in one of these things where they, you know, had to shoot me, you know, and I'd taken over our church, you know. It, really a lot of fun. I want to do it again, and I'm going to kill more of those guys next time. You know, I found out, though, in warfare that there's a lot of times where those guys, if you have somewhere to take cover, you take cover. But there are some times where you have no cover. And so do you know what your cover is? Is you are spraying bullets in front of you. And you're not even really aiming at an enemy, but you're spraying in front of you. And that's your cover, and you're staying behind that. And can I tell you that the Word of God is your cover? And we need to understand and stay behind the Word of God and hang on to it like it's the only thing that you have, because sometimes that's all you have. And you just need to continue to preach and teach the Word of God and hold fast to that. I love to deer hunt. I grew up in Missouri and then moved to Colorado in our early 20s, and brother Beal, we were married 3 years when we got here. So, and we moved from Steamboat Springs, and just a week before archery season opened in Colorado. I'm still a little bitter about that, but love to hunt and love to do a lot of whitetail hunting, and still have some property in Missouri that was in our family farm, and so I go back there every year. One year I bought a new ladder stand, and 21 feet high. Put that thing together and set it up against the tree, and then it was sitting on a hill, so kind of a steep hill. So when you set it up there, then you were looking like you're really way up there. Well, I'm kind of scared of heights. I know it's hard to believe, but I had to climb up there for that first day of deer season. I really knew this was going to be a good spot. So I had my backpack on, because you always have to have snacks in your backpack. And so you can't deer hunt unless you have snacks, right? So I had my backpack and I had my rifle, and I climb up into that tree stand, and I'm just climbing straight up and looking at the tree. And I get up there and I turn around and I thought I was going to die. And I finally got the backpack off and set it under my chair and hang my rifle on the hook. And I'm in a cold sweat by now. And I get turned around and I have a railing on there. And so I wrap my arm around the railing, and I'm sitting there kind of hunched over because I'm hanging onto that railing, scared to death and grasping that for all I was worth. And then I hadn't sat there very long, and I'm having a lot of conversations with the Lord and A lot of conversations about my irrational fear, and then here comes the nice buck. Now what are you going to do? You're going to have to let go of that rail and shoot the rifle. And I thought, no, we're not going to do that. So I... and I did harvest the deer, and about 2.5 seconds later, I climbed down out of that stand, and from then on, I took a whole section of that ladder out and cut him down to size. And so, but I was hanging on. Can I tell you, there's times where you just got to hang on to the Word of God. You have to remember that God called you into this, and God's the one that takes care of you. God's the one that defends you, and what you need to do is you just need to continue to put out the cover by preaching the Word of God. And just stay behind the Word of God. And so he tells them to hold fast. Verse 14, he said, guard the good things, the sound words, the gospel, faith, love. Guard those things. And then he tells us in verse 15, he tells us again that we need to be strong even when others turn away. You know, sometimes it is disheartening when you see that, and it's going to happen. And that shouldn't affect your calling at all. You need to just continue to be what God wants you to be. And so he says, thou therefore, my son. Paul loved him as a son, and probably we know that through his witness that I know it's through his mother and his grandmother that they taught him in the faith, but possibly he could have been Paul's son in the faith. But whether he was or not, we know that Paul mentored him and invested his life in him and called him his son. And can I tell you that I don't care what kind of ministry you're in, whether you're a missionary, pastor, or an evangelist, it doesn't matter, or whatever other kind of ministry you may be in, you need to invest in others. That's what ministry is about. It's about serving God by serving others, and we need to put ourselves out there, and we need to serve one another, and we need to be willing, as Paul said, to be spent by others. You know, it is all about others. It's not about us whatsoever, and we need to invest in those, and I do understand sometimes it gets very difficult because at times you will invest in someone and they hurt you. And they turn and go another way, and you think of all that investment that you've had, and can I tell you, that really isn't your problem, okay? That's God's issue. You just do what you're supposed to do, and you invest in those other people, and leave it there, and let them be what God wants them to be, and it's up to them to do that. But it's our job to invest in those others, and can I tell you something else? Show a little bit of respect for those that have invested their lives in you here. I as I have gotten older and maybe a little more mature in some areas, I have come to respect those that were willing to invest their lives in me and show a little bit of respect. These guys that get on and waste their time blogging and the Facebook or the keyboard warriors, I call them. You know, if there was a punch emoji, I'd be using that a lot. That's how you unfriend someone. But let's show a little respect for those that invest in us. And here we see how much Paul loved him. You imagine the people that invest in you, how much they do love you. You know, you're going to find, and believe me, 27 years in the same ministry in a town of 13,000 and 28,000 in the entire county, there are several people that I've invested a lot of time in that are no longer a part of our church family. And I see them often. And what do you do with that? You can either get mad and bitter, and you can go and then preach against them at church and preach out of the flesh, or you can just continue to love the Lord, love the Word, and love people. And just keep doing what you're supposed to do and invest in others and don't stop doing it. And so he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong. And so now used 20, I believe somewhere around 25 times this phrase is used in the scripture, to be strong. And it's always to be strong in the Lord. It's not believe in yourself. It's not be strong in yourself. And it's none of that. It's about being strong in the Lord. It's about I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And can I tell you, it means far more than somebody putting that on the sole of their shoe. I'm telling you that it means something that whenever you lose a spouse of 40 years and you have to wake up the next day and get out of bed and keep moving forward. It's that one where your family has turned, you know, your family turns on you and whoever, you know, because you've made a choice to follow Christ and you get up and you continue to follow God and do what God wants you to do. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, and how we need to understand that. And when he tells us to be strong and then to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, I was thinking of Brother Nathan Dietrich preaching last night and the incarnation of Christ and how he talks about it, you know, representing our death, but also his resurrection, representing our resurrection. And can I tell you everything in between the death and his resurrection? That's our life, okay? There's the grace that God wants to use in our lives every day. It's a sustaining grace. We know Christ is our Savior. We know that we're bound for heaven. We know we're on our way. And so we rejoice in that, but we need that everyday life-sustaining grace. It's a specific grace, truly a favor that is not deserved. And it's a grace to live victoriously every day. It's a grace needed to forgive those that hurt you, a grace to go on when you lose someone, a grace to go beyond your own abilities, a grace to continue even when others you've graduated with have fallen off and no longer serving God. It's a grace to make decisions based on the Bible, not popularity. It's a grace to be separated from the world. It's a grace to show decisions based, it's a grace to show those that the love of God, who are filthy in sin. You reach out to them and you help them anyway. Oh, it's that kind of grace that God wants us to have, and it's that grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's our position is one of eternal quality and that never changes, and we are in Christ. We are in His grace. We are in His power. We are in His provision. We're in His protection, all of that. And Paul wanted Timothy to know that and was encouraging him. And so here, first of all, Timothy, promote that grace in your life. Secondly, you need to propagate the gospel, Timothy. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So we see Paul's testimony. He said, you've heard of me. You've heard it from many witnesses. You've been with me. You've watched my life. You've seen what I am and you see the things that I do. And we know even in 1 Timothy, Paul wrote about the qualifications of a pastor. And moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without and lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. And so you need to understand you have a testimony in the community and you need to guard that and protect that and you need to treat people correctly and you need to treat people with respect and you need to love God, love His Word, and love people. And do all three of those and be as Paul did and what was the purpose is perpetual here. The same commit thou to faithful men. And that faithful men's a generic term, so it's including men and women both, anyone that's faithful. We need to be teaching the Word of God and promoting the Word of God and encourage them to read the Word of God and commit that and entrust that to them and give that to them and continue to train them and don't be so insecure that you have to micromanage everything. You need to learn to give things to other people. And as you train them, let them have that and let them go with that. You can't do it all. Now, there might be a time when I'm getting hot up. It's hot up here. It's probably not quite so hot right here. I'm sorry, Dr. Tubman. You know how demeaning it was? He would always stand up on the platform and make me stand down. You know, me and Brother Dallas, right? I'd love that. You know, but you're a giant of the faith, brother, and I appreciate you. And I'm glad you can, I hope you can take a joke. It's been nice knowing you guys. You know, you think about Paul's testimony and you think about Dr. Comfort's testimony. You think of Dr. Scoble's testimony. Think of Dr. Childs, who was here last night. You think of Dr. Carallo, Dr. Surrett. All of those men that invested their lives in us. And what a joy. True, what a privilege it was. And here he says, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And that's what we are. We're the progeny of that, right? And so what are we going to do? We're going to do the same thing. We're going to continue to carry on and let that be the legacy. Can I be a little bit personal here? One of my prayers that I have for my family is, Lord, I pray that the only kind of legacy that we leave behind is that my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids love you and serve you. That's all. That's all we want. And so let us continue to perpetuate that, and let's propagate the gospel, because that's where it is. The Great Commission is still well and alive today. And can I tell you, it works. It really does work. I mean, it's awesome. And our church out there in northeast Colorado, out on the plains, and it's kind of in nowhere land. And God is doing something. I just am amazed and privileged to get to see it. We have so many first generation believers in our church family. When Wes and Laura Carnes came and became the associate, he came the associate pastor there, and Miss Laura had been there for a little while, and she says, "Is there anybody in here that doesn't have a tattoo?" Well, I'm teasing, you know, but I mean, it's just the way it is. But can I tell you that God is doing a great work, and you know why? He just preaches word. You love him. You love his word. And you love the people by preaching the word of God. And so we propagate the gospel, and let us continue to do that. One Sunday, a year and a half ago, August 28th, on a Sunday morning, we baptized 45 people in one service. It was the greatest thing that I've ever been a part of in my life. And how good it is to see people trust Christ. And so then the last thing, persevere. As a good soldier, thou therefore, again, he's very personal, isn't he? He's saying, Timothy, you need to hear. And therefore, because what I just told you, and these things that I'm warning you about, because you are strong in God's grace, because you are in Christ, because I have done it. And Paul said, I've finished my race. I've done it. I'm to the end of it. And there's no turning back. And so let us be like that. And now, therefore, endure hardness. Suffer hardship. Bear hardship. Bear misfortune. You know, the slanderer is constantly after you. The accuser is constantly after you. There are times when you're going to be sitting there and you'll be sitting in your office, or you'll be sitting at the dinner table with your family, and there's going to be this wave of emotions come over you, and there'll be some guilt that comes in your life, and you think, man, I could have done this better, or I could have done that better. Can I tell you, God convicts, okay? The devil brings guilt and shame, and you don't need to live there. You don't need to stay there. And you need to, yes, there are times we need to confess things and get them right with God, obviously. And just because you're a pastor doesn't mean that you are guarded from that. You need to keep your hearts right just like everybody else and make certain of that and get things right. But I'm telling you that the devil is, my daughter always says, the devil just doesn't play fair. And boy, he doesn't. And you're going to see that, and you're going to see the attacks on your family. You're going to watch the devastation of families in your own church. You're going to lose friends along the way. You're going to have those who are turncoats that you maybe went to school with or were friends in the ministry, and then pretty soon they're down the road, you know, promoting their antagonistic blogs or you know, they've gone completely, you know, nuts on some of the theological stands that they had been taking, and you're going to see that. You're going to have the social media warriors who are always trying to pick a fight, and then maybe even worse than all of those is maybe there's sickness in your family, and maybe you lose a child, or maybe you lose a spouse. It all happens, and it's happened to all of our graduates. I can vouch for those things and challenges along the way. And what does God tell you in that? Does he say to stop and quit during those afflictions? No, he says to endure the afflictions. He told Israel in Isaiah that he called them out of the furnace of affliction. And so we need to understand that as a good soldier, then we need to stay focused and love the Lord and love his word and keep loving people. Now, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier. That word good has the idea of being praiseworthy. Praiseworthy of God, the applause of one. That's all we want. We do what we do, and we stay faithful to God, looking forward to the day when he will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. That's it. It's just God that we seek to please. And so let us do that. Let us be faithful as a soldier through this life all the way till death. Let us prepare for battle. Let us wage a good fight. Let us not falter. Let us not waver. But let us stay focused and stay faithful. I conclude with the song, Sound the Battle Cry. Sound the battle cry. See the foe is nigh. Raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on. Stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon his holy word. Rouse then, soldiers. Rally round the banner. Ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go. While our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right, we ne'er can fail. O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us one and all by thy grace. When the battle's done and the victory's won, may we wear the crown before thy face. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray, Father, that you will help each one of us to continue to stand, to be faithful, to be trustworthy and honorable. And that, Father, you will guide us and help us, Lord, to do great things for you. In Jesus' name, amen.